Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm here to see a man about a frog. 50 frogs.
No, there's enough of them in the garden, I tell you that. It's a lovely day, isn't it?
Fantastic. Piss and rain, cold, just an average summer's day. I'm good, how are you?
Great, I haven't seen any.
I know. God, this place is just amazing. Just so bubbling with life. Birds, bird feeders, loads of birds.
Yeah, crazy amount.
And
frogs everywhere.
We're just getting into the shed now because it's pissing rain. Ah, it's nice and warm in here. Wow.
Yeah, I put on
a bit. Listen to those birds.
Yeah, so we've starlings.
Wow.
House sparrows. I'm trying to get tits in my garden.
Right.
As always.
Hang on, I'll have to get that again. Sorry, what was that you were trying to get in your garden?
Yeah, no, we've starlings, we've sparrows, and I'm trying to get tits into the garden.
Isn't every boy?
Every boy is trying to get tits into his garden, but for some reason I don't think I'm using the right mix, but I've been talking to some of my Twitcher friends, and they've said to get Niger seed, stuff like that, so I'm going to give
fancy.
It a go. Yeah, fancy. So the last month, essentially, since we were out with the badgers, everything's decided to have babies. So I've had newts, axolotls, the horn frogs have metamorphosed into tadpoles have metamorphosed into frogs. And then looking into ponds getting built around parks and stuff for the herpetological society. So crazy couple of weeks.
That's amazing though.
Yeah, that's good. You know, it's a good complaint. It's just, apologies for not being able to attend to our Crittercast clientele out there and our lovely listeners.
So are you going to show me your horned frogs?
Yes, here I've got one.
So you're taking up another container now. I look, so this guy is, I don't even know how big, 2 inches?
Yeah,
inch and a half,
I suppose. Yeah,
so the last time I saw these guys they were actually
tadpoles. Yeah, isn't it gorgeous colour though?
Stunning.
Peppermint green
blotches of brown, but they're outlined in almost gold, and then there's our typical Pac-Man frog shape, which is a big blob.
Yeah,
and the front bit is the face.
Yep,
just
that's exactly it.
Gorgeous.
And we'll snap at anything that goes in front of his face, so I have to be very careful.
So
but
tell
they're
me,
doing well now. You can see there's some runts in the litter.
Right, so you're lifting up another container, and there's some that are a little bit smaller.
Yeah, well, there's a nice.
There's another one in another container.
You see what I have on the top of the containers as well?
Is that a date?
That's all the dates of the feeds.
Yeah.
So I have a record of that. Oh, there's a lovely. One of the albinos. What do you think of that?
Oh, that's like a very light green.
Yeah.
And then the blotches are almost red.
Yeah.
Very pretty.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So how often do you feed these guys?
So it used to be every second day or something like that. But now it's like they're onto little mice. So
they're onto little mice?
Mm-hmm. Pinky mice.
Seriously? Like they're only an inch and a half big.
I know, but at this stage they should be eating other frogs. And obviously
really?
I can't. Our frogs are protected. In a lot of countries there's so many frogs you could just go out and pick them. So the next best thing, I suppose, is a mouse. And it also means they can feed them once a week, every four days, which is not too bad. Mm. Just to fatten them up. And then once they're big enough, then a solid diet of big fat crickets.
Right.
Because you can kind of leave the crickets in with them a little bit more. Look at the colours on this guy. Look at those browns.
Beautiful. Just a stunning colour.
I'm supposed to be selling these. And I don't think it's going to happen.
Does Mrs. Ennis know that
she's yet? She's gone mental. She's like, when are you going to sell them? to pay for our electricity bills. Oh,
one just hopped out. Okay.
Oh, dearie me. Now,
Jesus, they're fast.
You have to be careful, yeah.
So, the containers they're in are pretty small. Are they, like, would they normally just sit in...
To stop that.
Right. But would they normally just sit around in the wild and eat things?
They're ambush predators, like we were saying. So they just sit. They bury themselves down and they sit in their little... the little hole they make and wait for things to pass by.
So what you're doing now, you're just going back and forth checking the containers. Sorry, you're opening them up and looking trying at to how find, big they are.
Yeah, I'm just seeing how
50 containers
there. 50 plus, yeah.
Jesus.
It's brilliant. Sorry, I keep going away from the microphone. It's brilliant, but it's very, very time consuming, as you can imagine. As you can imagine.
Remind me, in the wild, they would have how many months to actually go from fertilised eggs into...
It depends on the heat or it depends on the amount of rain that falls, but they can metamorphose in a couple of weeks, which is incredible. Yeah. Like, you know, and in their natural environment, there'd be loads of other horned frogs around, loads of other species of frogs, and they're just eating everything, and they'll get big very, very fast. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll treble their size in 3 weeks. Wow. They'll just get huge. So, and they'll have a couple of months to get that big. The puddles might dry out and kill the tadpoles, but once they're turned into frogs, they can hang around a lot longer. They could have months to get really fat, really big, and then bury themselves and then be ready for the next breeding season. So yeah,
cool.
It's been a mad experience and I really enjoyed it, but I'm wiped out because it's at least an hour every evening taking out their poo, because their poo is just disgusting, and you have to get it out of their cage because they're in their little small tubs that they're in. You can't have waste in there with them, so that has to be taken out, and then they have to be fed, because if they're not fed, they'll lose weight really fast and deteriorate, and you'll lose them then.
So come here, we were going to talk about...
Snakes.
Snakes.
Yeah, the silent assassins, the thing that everybody's afraid of.
Why are we afraid of snakes?
With good reason. I would say because our great-great-great-great-grandfathers and grandmothers survived to reproduce because they were afraid of snakes. We're part of the ape family, so our ancestors would have definitely been predated on by large snakes. So, and you see, even if you put a dummy snake in front of, like, monkeys and chimps nowadays, they'll do their alarm calls and freak out. So I suppose that fear is still ingrained in us, you know.
It's a very deep one.
Yeah, a very deep.
And beside me on my left now is a beautiful snake. What am I looking at?
That's Xerxes, and that is a royal python.
And the colour is amazing. The patterns are...
Yeah.
I don't even know how to describe. They're sort of blotched.
I describe it as kind of a forest floor pattern.
Mm.
You can imagine if he's in a pile of leaves, he'd be pretty hard to spot, you know?
So different patches of colour that break up the outline of his body and that would blend in with the colours of the litter on the forest floor.
Exactly.
And his head is just sort of... He's sort of looking at you longingly. Is it dinner time or
something? It is dinner time. And I have some... Now, I know, if you're not comfortable, you don't have to do this. But
I'm very comfortable.
I did thaw out some mice. We can throw in some later on, just to see the action. And I don't know if you've seen how fast they can whack things out of it, but it's impressive. So yeah, so just like snakes are one of those again misunderstood creatures and demonized, but an incredible animal. Considering that they're just a tube, basically they're a tube, tubular body. They've only one functioning lung.
Really?
Yeah, because like as they evolved, they stretched out one lung and kind of packed the other one away. Same with one of their kidneys.
Huh.
They can shrink and grow their internal organs as they ingest food or if they're not eaten. They have detachable jaws that will kind of stretch out and swallow food that is like twice as big as their head or three times as big as their head.
I'd love to have that.
Yeah, exactly. They actually, do you know how they swallow things? That people always ask me, they're like, how does a snake swallow like an antelope or whatever? So a big African rock python catches an antelope.
Wow.
And how does he? So he'll grab onto that, obviously constrict it, which is basically smothering it to death, squeezing and squeezing until the heart stops.
Wow.
Then up to the head of the animal, because it'll always go head first. That means horns, hoofs and fore will slide down the way you want it to and not go against your throat. Then the trick is to not choke to death on this massive antelope burger you're eating is to have a muscular windpipe. So your muscular windpipe sticks out the side of your mouth like a cigar and it actually flexes and breathes. If you can imagine, yeah, it's very cool to see. You'll probably be able, if you're listening to this and you want to see it, Google it or look at it on YouTube, a snake windpipe, and you'll see it comes outside the mouth. So the big animal's being walked basically into the mouth by the snake's reversed fangs and just slowly walking itself over as this tube sticks outside and goes like Darth Vader.
No.
So it's really, really awesome to see, like, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. Snakes are around since just after the dinosaurs. Just
after creation?
Yeah, yeah. It's when God created man and woman. No, they've been around for a long time. They were around at the same time as the dinosaurs. They were very small. Mm. Inconspicuous little animals that kind of had to hide away in the undergrowth and didn't want to be out. And spotted, obviously, because it would be a bad thing back then with those big turkeys walking around. they had legs at one stage.
Did they?
So they are tetrapods, like us all. Like they would be considered tetrapods still. They would have been very much like skinks or the legless lizards nowadays. That's a case of convergent evolution. Two animals, again, that do the same thing and look the same. Legless lizards look like snakes, but they're not snakes. They just do the same thing in similar environments. Mm-hmm. So what happened is, over time, when you're in the undergrowth, well, there's two theories on this. When you're in the undergrowth, there's one of them that your legs become a hindrance. So over time, they get smaller and smaller, and then you realise you can use your ribs or your belly, the muscles along your ribs, to propel yourself. Hence, mm-hmm. you lose your legs. Mm-hmm. Another theory is the aquatic theory that snakes, because they're very closely related to mosasaurs, which are the giant aquatic reptiles that are around at the time of the dinosaurs. Think Jurassic World, the latest film. That was a mosasaur. A lot of people think that snakes were aquatic animals. And that's how they evolved, that undulating movement that they used to swim. And basically they adapted it to land so they can swim across the land.
Mm.
So yeah, that's pretty much the story of their evolution. People who argue against the evolution, I love to point out the fact that snakes still have, certain species of snakes still have their little back legs.
Do they?
Yeah. So I'm going to show you now.
Oh, wow.
This is my snake hook.
So you're opening the container.
Now, the reason I give them a little tap on the head is to remind him that I am not food.
Okay. You're taking out this...
Don't be afraid.
No. It's like nothing's ever happened to me in here.
No, exactly, yeah.
Beautiful. So you're cradling this gorgeous snake.
So, there you go. You can see. Can you see what it's doing there, by the way?
You're holding him up there and he's flicking his tongue in
and
out.
Yeah, and he's also got his neck in an S position.
Yeah.
Which means that he's a little bit scared.
Okay.
Now, relaxed.
Okay, he's extended his neck there.
Exactly. So you just kind of give him a few seconds. Now, if you look here.
You're holding at the back of his... Oh, the back, right at the back towards his tail.
Yeah.
Little, see? Like a little tiny little hook or something.
Tiny little hook. It's called spores.
Ah.
And the males of these of this species will use it to rake the female.
Yeah.
As in, like, hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing? Yeah. So yeah, and there's the snake. There's the snake's tail. From that point on, from the vent on, is its actual tail
about 3 inches?
Yeah. So you think,
and it looks quite different.
It does, doesn't it? You can see where it breaks off. So the hips are actually here.
All right.
And then the tail comes along.
I'd never have thought of a snake having hips.
Yeah. It's mad because you have to remember, like birds, I suppose, as well. People don't think of birds as being like four-legged animals, but they're just their legs turned into wings. And,
yeah.
You know?
But you're just holding that snake now and his head is just moving around. It's like the snakes, the plastic snakes we used to have when we were kids. Do you remember you just hold them and they move in that S shape? Yeah.
Deadly, isn't it?
He's beautiful. And so the underside of him is very light. It's white.
Yes. So the tops, you can see the scales. Don't be worrying, he will never bite.
Okay.
So the scales on the top.
Can I feel him?
Yep.
Oh, so lovely and beautiful, dry and beautiful.
So the scales on a snake are very tough.
Yeah.
And in a lot of most snakes, they're quite waterproof as well. So that's why snakes do so well in deserts. Like they do well everywhere. Uh-huh. They're basically all over the planet, bar the poles, Ireland, Iceland, and Hawaii, and a few of the other Pacific and Atlantic islands, because they just didn't get there. Yeah. But
again, while you're talking, he's just moving
around.
In that beautiful, like the movements are so elegant.
See the way he's pushing himself along. See that?
Yeah, he's moving into the container now and pushing himself along.
And that's he's using his muscles that are attached to his ribs. So he's got about 400 ribs, and they're all attached to a muscle. And each one of them can, the rib at the top where it's along the spine, can slightly rotate.
Ah.
And that gives it the ability to push, almost like the caterpillar tracks on a tank.
Right.
That makes sense,
yeah? Yeah.
So, they do great. They really do well in deserts.
Right.
Deserts kind of have the most species of snakes and the biggest number of those species.
Mm. He sort of slid himself back into his container.
Oh, that's his home, yeah. He's very content in there. And now he needs some leaves, some new leaves, which I have a bag of, but it got wet today and I don't want to get him too damp.
Sorry, remind me again what he is.
He's a royal python or a ball python. The legend about royal pythons is that Cleopatra would adorn herself with them when she held court, because she would have known that they're not venomous. But if you're a Roman general coming in to see her in the court, you'd be like, holy shit, this yoke's a lunatic. But yeah. So
these guys are constrictors.
Constrictors, yeah. So there's the venomous snakes, which are the vipers, the cobras, all those fanged snakes, the rear fanged snakes as well. And then you have the constrictors, which are like the rat snakes, the pythons and the boas. Mm. So, yeah, my knowledge and speciality is really constrictors. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking we should get somebody in who specialises in venomous snakes sometime, because they're a really interesting subject and I wouldn't be able to do them justice. But they're a very cool thing. Obviously I don't want to keep venomous snakes in and around the house because it's too risky with kids and my fondness for Guinness. Hello. Snap, gone. I love you. You're the best snake.
So they're flicking in that tongue in and out, and that's actually smelling, isn't it?
Yay, very good. Yeah, so they have the nostrils on the top of their head, but the sense of smell that they use is their tongue. And the tongue is tasting in stereo, so it's two points on it.
Mm-hmm.
The points of that retract back into the head into an organ which has two balls either side of it. That's called a Jacobson organ. And as the tongue goes back into the head, the two tips touch off the two balls either side. And that means if there is a mouse over to the left of us here and that snake is hungry, it sticks out its tongue. And where it will taste mouse? On the left-hand side of the fork. And it will move over to the left. It might go too far.
Mm.
Stick out the tongue again and it will taste it maybe slightly more to right. And then it will zone in using that method until it knows exactly where the prey is. So that means that even snakes that live on islands with bird colonies or that has attacked a mouse or a rat and gotten its eyes ripped out, which happens a lot with snakes because their prey isn't just going to sit there and go happily down the belly. So they might lose their eyes, but they'll still be able to hunt very efficiently using their forked tongue.
I can see how, you know, animals build up this reputation vis-a-vis humans because we get freaked out about certain things because they look different to the way we look. And the eyes are quite, there's no pupils in them that I can see. They all just look like the one colour. It's like brown enamel.
Yeah. So they do actually have pupils. And, the reason why they look quite glossy is because they don't have eyelids. Mm. They don't have the ability to blink. They have a monocle, basically, a scale that goes over their eye that comes off. I have one here behind that I thought you might find interesting. Look how well prepared I am. Blue Peter Collie, huh? Here's one I made earlier.
Hey, this is a snake skin that's been
awesome,
shed. It's amazing.
So if you look here.
So you just showed me the head on this shed snake skin. So it's like an empty snake.
There you go. Isn't that
Little, that's like goggles.
Yeah. So before the snake sheds, you will see its eyes get quite milky. It's like grey. And even if you have a very friendly pet snake, they get very cranky around that time, because you can imagine they can't really see that well, less than they normally could see. And some snakes even have bad eyesight as it is, but anybody approaching them at that stage could be perceived as being a threat. So they get milky eyes, and then about 2 days later, they'll rub their bottom jaw and their nose off an object in their cage. I have objects, obviously, in all their cages that they can rub their nose off, and then it just splits the skin, and then it comes off like, if you can imagine, taking off a stocking. I said stocking,
which you can imagine.
It's a very easy image for me to imagine, being the depraved man that I am. But no, it's like taking off a sock or a stocking.
Yeah.
Literally peels back off the skin, and you can see the scales coming off, and you get this inside out lovely snake skin. And for some reason, they always shit in it. It's mad. I don't know why.
Oh, so it's inside out.
Yeah, that's inside out, because it would have been. And yeah, for some reason, I find a lot of the times they seem to do a nice big poo after they're done.
So it looks papery, but, and it, you can feel it there. It sounds papery, but it's more like plastic.
It is. It's a very strange feeling thing. Do you see the difference in the top scales and the bottom scales?
Yeah, so the bottom scales are like big.
Yeah, flat ones.
Flat ones, and then the top are tiny little honeycomb shaped. They're gorgeous.
The bottom scales that go across the belly, they get big as a snake grows. Mm. So you could actually tell what size it is. If you find these massive scales on the ground, if you're out in the field, you'll know there's a big snake around.
Wow.
Whereas the top ones tend to stay small, regardless of the size of the snake. They won't get much bigger, like, you know.
Yeah. How often do they shed?
Well, like, it depends on as they're grown, they can, and how they're feeding, and, you know. But I generally about once a month, I find.
Really?
Yeah, once every few months.
Wow.
It's
and is it a thing that they're growing and they're shedding, or what is it?
When they're grown up, they are. Yeah. But also when they're fully grown, they have to shed, because first of all, they can't blink, so they have to have those eyes, and their skin is that protective coating for them. They go through a lot of different environments depending on the species, but be it sand or through jungles, they're picking up mites, they're picking up parasites. Mm. When they shed them off, goodbye, that's it, gone.
Amazing.
So it's a great system, it really is. Again, these tubular shaped bodies that you think would be a stupid design for nature have conquered land, trees. They can climb vertically up trees with no branches, no problem. They can fly. You have gliding snakes from Southeast Asia, species of snakes that can flatten their body, climb up to the top of a tree, flatten their body out like a jet airplane wing, but in an S shape, and they'll zoom down. They can go up to 100 metres. So it's an incredible feat to think that this tubular body, they can jump.
Mm.
Sea snakes have conquered the ocean in the tropical regions. They can't live, obviously, in the colder seas, because they are cold-blooded animals. But sea snakes do really well in tropical regions. So, again, for that seemingly daft-shaped body, they've done incredibly well as a species, you know?
Where we go back to basics for Colette.
Okay.
Warm-blooded, cold-blooded.
Yeah, okay.
Explain the difference.
Well, I mean, warm-blooded, we produce heat by the food we eat. We're basically, we're a fast-burning engine. So our food, we have to constantly take in proteins and carbohydrates and all that good stuff.
So we generate the heat that gets us moving. Exactly. And snakes and other cold-blooded animals have to
absorb it. Yeah, so they absorb it from sun, rocks, you know, all that kind of heat that's external to their body that they'll take on board. That will be their energy that they'll use to propel themselves. They would use 1/5 of the energy we would use. Some snake species can go up to 2 years without eating.
Really?
Yep. So, I mean, it's an incredibly, incredibly efficient way of existing.
Mm.
A snake this size can eat a decent meal once a month.
Mm.
You compare it to a mammal of the same size, it'd be long gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's it's a really cool system. The fact that it's worked for so many creatures, for so many reptiles and amphibians for so long shows that it is a very efficient system.
Yeah. How long is this snake now and how old is he?
Xerxes came to me, I didn't name him, a friend of mine, Brendan, actually was kind of moving out of his house, so he was going into a place where...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He couldn't take snakes, so I took Xerxes on board about 7 years ago.
Okay.
He must be well into his teens at this stage.
How long would you expect him to...
25, 30 years
really?
For a snake
in
that
human
size.
Care.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and again, with the appropriate conditions in the appropriate size enclosure and with a bit of exercise, they do great.
Mm.
I suppose we should touch on a recent event that happened... there was a snake that was handed in to me last week that was found in a national park in Ireland. And it was a Burmese python, which is one of the largest species of snake on the planet. And it was a big girl who had been abandoned by her owners. And she was in an awful state. And
dumped.
Yeah. And eventually died, unfortunately. She'd been attacked by animals in the wild and all sorts of things that had happened. So, again... as we've said before on the podcast, it's great, and I would encourage anybody to get animals, provided that you're going to give them the proper care and take them on for life. I mean, whatever possessed somebody to dump a large tropical animal in the middle of Ireland in the freezing cold, because it's always cold here, I don't know, and it makes me very angry, to be honest with you, because it gives everybody who cares for these animals a bad name. It's incredibly cruel and horrible, drawn out death for animals like that. And yeah, whoever did it was a fucking dickhead, to be honest with you. So I'd appeal to anybody, if you're thinking about getting an animal, just to make sure that, you know, you're definitely going to be able to keep it forever.
Mm. Because I mean, there's so many animals that just outlive us to a huge degree. Like, you have a lot of tortoises, and they're lifespan could be beyond 80, 100.
Yeah, my grandkids could be looking after them, you know, which is bizarre to think, you know. But
yeah,
anyway, enough lecturing from me.
I'm just looking at Xerxes. He was moving there in circles, and it's just so mesmerizing. That
it is
gorgeous.
I find him so I don't know what it is about snakes. I find him really relaxing to be around.
Well, he's just come to rest there, and now his head has popped up again, but he's beautiful. Like, his little head is really cute.
Here, talk about Q.
Come on.
Have a look at this guy.
Tiny little snake. That's, oh, for God's sake.
Piggy.
Is that a
hognose?
Hognose.
Hognose snake. And they're aptly named. You can see they have this little pig nose basically on a snake. It's very strange little creature. This is an albino, obviously. It doesn't have the natural colours, but they'd be brown.
A foot long?
She'd probably just a little under that, yeah.
She's looking at us going, what the fuck?
Yeah,
asleep.
Exactly. Can you see her grey eyes?
Grey eyes, yeah.
Yeah, so she's about to shed.
All right.
Yeah, because she's been having a very hungry couple of weeks. Now.
That her hiss?
Yeah. So that's the behaviour of a cranky hognose. It's typical of them. She's pretending that she... So they have two ways of trying to defend themselves. They...
It's an amazing sound.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, isn't it? They can pretend that they're big and bald, like she's doing here.
You're just getting her with the hook now.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I don't freak her out too much.
And you've got her in your hand and she's writhing.
Yeah. So there's this hissing thing and then there's playing dead. So they'll play dead by opening their mouth real wide like a cartoon character and sticking the tongue out the side of their head and rolling on their back.
No.
It's hilarious. This little cranky,
she ain't playing dead.
Cranky so-and-so has never played dead.
She's not doing it now.
She doesn't care. And then the other thing she will do is actually give you a nip. These are venomous, but they're rear-fanged venomous.
What's that mean?
It means that their fangs are right in the back of their mouth, so they have to get a good chomp onto you to really get some. There's a lot of venomous snakes would be rear-fanged. They'd have to bite numerous times on their prey and get a real good chew on them to kind of to get that venom in.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the rear-fanged venomous snakes have, instead of like the usual venomous snake thing of having like hypodermic needles, will have just fangs with grooves in them that don't actually...
Sorry, Lucy is going between your...
Oh, that's fine. She'll be fine. So there's not much there for her to tackle anyway. That's a lie. but they're really a cute little species, aren't they?
Beautiful, yeah. Like
when they play dead as well, they fart.
No.
they let this kind of horrible stink out of them. It's like a must. And it's rotten it is. I was actually going out the other night to the feckin' pub and I saw one of my king snakes. It was just after shedding. And you know me, I'm very proud of my animals. And I was like, oh my God, that's a beautiful looking animal. Just after a shed, it's gorgeous looking, black and white. And I took her out, put her on my arm to have a nice photograph. And she sprayed me with must. Never done it before, ever. And I washed everything. I took her off, changed all my clothes. But I sat down beside my mates and they were like, what's the story? Do you have a fart or something? And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. I had to keep running out of the toilet. It was so bad. It was like I'd been sprayed by a skunk.
I didn't know they could do that. Yeah. Where does the spray come from?
Their arse. It's basically a gland that they have in their backside. Right. And it's just... So, yeah, mad.
Right, now talk to me about getting a ride on snakes.
Snakes, yeah. So the males will combat with each other. Different species have different things, but generally it's kind of a wrestling match between the males. Like the adders in England will have this kind of competition where they wrap each other around each other and kind of try and see who can go the highest, basically pushing the other male down and going up high. A lot of snakes will do that. A lot of cobras and all will do that. It's this kind of competition to show off to the females who the strongest is. Probably comes from when they were back in the day would have been battling to the death, but it's evolved into this more display. No one gets bitten. They just show off, see how well they do. The males have two hemipenes, which is two mickeys. Whee! So then they all have these mad shaped willies, like they're crazy. They're like, some of them are like these exploding star shapes and crazy. So they can mate either side of the female, which is very interesting.
Where's the genitalia?
The inside for the males. So if you're sexing snakes...
Which end of it, though?
Well, the arse end of it. Yeah, down where the hips are, where we were looking at those. Yeah.
You have to ask these things. I don't take these things for granted.
I take everything for granted. And it is... I shouldn't be doing it. But if you're looking to sex a snake, you use a thing called a probe. So sexing a snake basically is like to see if it's a boy or a girl. So you'll get your probes... depending on the size of the snake or different species, and then you'll push the probe very gently in through its vent, which is the opening where everything comes in and out. They're kind of like birds that way. They have just one vent for everything. And if it goes in very far, it's a girl. If it doesn't go in very far, it's a boy, because his are blocking your probe. So yeah, it's a fairly handy way of doing it. And reproduction then, when the female isn't pregnant, depending on the species of snake, most snakes will lay eggs.
Mm.
Some are live bearers and some retain eggs inside them until late stages and either have the bird inside them, kind of like our common lizard does in Ireland, or they'll retain the eggs inside them, kind of incubate them a little bit and then lay them in compost heaps like grass snakes do in England. Mm-hmm. So they give their eggs a little head start. Their eggs are very leathery. They're not like the eggs you typically think of. They're like a tube with a rounded off edge.
All right.
Very leathery. Well, it depends on the size. Like, I mean, you can imagine, like, the bigger snakes, like, have these kind of like two golf balls or three golf balls in a row, that size. And then the smaller snakes are just like matchboxes kind of size, you know? And then it's again, it's very species specific. But Some of the big berms are very protective. The big python.
Burmese pythons.
Yeah, they're very protective mothers. Are, they'll wrap around the eggs and they'll vibrate and oscillate their body to create heat. So they're able to like generate this heat and protect the eggs until they hatch out. And then the kids are kind of on their own from them. But when a snake is born, if it's a constrictor or if it's venomous, it's ready to rock and roll from the get-go. Fully ready to predate on whatever can fit in its little mouth.
Now, I want to go back to the mechanics of this. I'm still not sure about it. So how do they actually copulate?
Oh, yeah. Well, so the male will basically chase the female around. It's very interesting to watch. Kind of like a Saturday Nights and Coppers or something like, you know, or the last night, the last hour of the nightclub. The male chase the female around, and if she's impressed or if she's willing, he'll move up beside her and basically lock his tail around hers, and then the hemipene will go in and then he'll pump some sperm into her. And she can retain, depending on the snake again, but some snakes can retain sperm for up to 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and then use it as conditions improve. So they're great survivors.
God. Yeah. How long do they stay in whatever you want to call it?
In gravid.
Gravid?
Yeah.
No, how long do they stay locked together?
Oh, well, it can be for hours. It depends again on species. But yeah, it can go on for a long time. Sometimes the males are quite shy about mating with females if you're trying to breed them in captivity. But if you feck another male in with them, they get the horn like mad. They're just like, oh God, you know what I mean? The competition, that sperm competition kicks in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mad. And speaking of, like we were talking about earlier on, about some of the cool things they can do, like unlocking their jaws to swallow things. There's actually a species of snake called the egg-eating snake. And it can completely unhinge its jaws, well, stretch them out, like most snakes, and swallow eggs whole. But you wonder how it cracks the eggs when it goes down. On its spine, it's evolved these actual spores that poke down inside its body from its spine. And then it uses its muscles to rub the egg off that thing, and it'll crack it inside. Swallows all the yolk, and then it has a valve that closes where it can pump the eggshell out of its mouth, not its arse now, out its mouth. So then it gets this, all this nutrition. It's African species of snakes, so there's lots of ground nesting boards, lots of food for it to eat. So yeah,
that's
one
amazing.
Of them showed up in Ireland in a car,
really?
Believe it or not. Yeah,
good God.
Yeah, it was a mechanic contacted one of my colleagues in the HSI, and she went down and collected
The HSI is the
Herpetological
Society
of Ireland. Yeah, sorry. And she went down and collected it, and couldn't believe it was an egg-eating snake. So
God.
How it got there, I don't know. But yeah, snakes are incredible. Incredible stowaways and escape artists. Yeah.
Well, I have to say, Xerxes here is so charming. Like, he's just sniffing around, tongue is flicking out, he's looking at us and he's going just gently around his enclosure. He's a lovely snake.
He's gorgeous. Now, do you want to see it? I picture this. I want you to picture it just after the dinosaurs disappeared off the face of the earth, okay? Now imagine something like Xerxes, maybe a little bit rounder, probably more greenish, but 40 foot long.
Wow.
Possibly 60 foot long. And the dinosaurs have disappeared. The snakes and the reptiles have survived the great mass extinction. The mammals are they're starting to come out and get bigger. But there's lots of massive crocs and massive turtles around. And the snakes decide, I'm going to have a bit of that dinner. And they start getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And in 2009, we found, not me personally, but you know, scientists, people found the vertebrae of a snake species in Colombia. And they called it Titanoboa, 40 to 60 foot long, basically like a giant anaconda or a boa species, probably semi-aquatic, would have eaten gigantic crocodiles head first, crushing them to death. So that's basically the snake, the length of a bus.
Wow.
So yeah, an incredible animal to envision in your head. It's creeping around the jungle, so yeah.
Well, that's not creeping. That's
but
out
yeah,
there.
Amazing. Yeah. So yeah, when I first read about Titanoboa, I was blown away because that must have been some scary world to live in if you're just that kind of explosion in evolution after the gaps were left when the dinosaurs disappeared. Yeah.
Now, you did promise me you were going to show me how to show this how you feed this snake. Yeah. Don't send me home disappointed.
No. Oh, God.
When was the last time he was fed?
So it would have been about a week ago.
Okay. Yeah. So you have thawed out mice. You're picking them one up in a long forceps.
So I'm going to open that door here. Let's see.
You're dangling it in front of the snake. He's getting interested. Tongue is flicking out. You're sort of poking him on the nose with it, or he's looking for.
Hang on.
And the snake, it's just dangling and dangling. He's definitely looking for it. His tongue is flicking in and out. The head is moving around. Jesus, he just grabbed him there and now he's wrapped around him.
He ripped the tail out.
Oh my God, that's right. You're holding the tail and this thawed out mouse.
So I'm going to give it a little jiggle.
To make it seem like it's alive.
Yep, and you see the squeeze going on there.
Oh my God, he's really squeezing.
Yep.
There's no life in that mouse, but they're squeezing the juices out of him.
Yeah. It's mad, yeah.
So he's got him in his jaw and then the rest of his coils are sort of wrapped around.
It's a smaller mouse, so he won't. Now, can you hear the tube going? Nope. Well, he was having a big breath there.
All right.
But if that was a bigger, now, a rat or something like that, it would have wrapped a bit more coils. So they'll throw as many coils around as they need to.
Yeah.
Which is, again, very efficient.
Yeah.
Memnock.
Who's that now? That's another snake. It's a black one.
So Memnock is called after the devil from Anne Rice's novels.
Memnock's getting... Memnock he just grabbed...
crazy snake, isn't he?
Like he didn't even hesitate. He just grabbed that mouse.
So he's a Mexican black king snakes who are notorious.
Oh, he's left him. He's dropped him.
Yeah. Well, he's still going after the movement. So you'll find him again. You'll taste him out.
He's a lovely snake. He's like a...
He's a beautiful snake, but one of those animals that just, unfortunately, was never... cared for properly when he was younger. Again, a rescue that was found. So there's a lot of snakes that I've taken on and rehomed.
Sorry.
Given to people. No, it's fine. Whoa, you have to be careful with your hands.
Okay, we have another. You're feeding another snake there. That, what type of snake is that now?
That's children's python. Yeah,
for beautiful. Kids.
Yeah. I don't know why they called them that, but
it's another snake. Frozen mouse disappeared into some coils.
Gone.
And here's another one. Where's that one going?
This is going to Arthur here.
Arthur the small...
Arthur is a rat snake that showed up in Guinness's.
All right.
For some reason. He was either a pet or a stowaway.
Is he also a constrictor?
Yep. I'll just leave that there. He's a bit shy. He always gets shy when people are in here. I don't think he likes ladies.
Is that why you called him Arthur? Because he turned up in Guinness's?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on now. Look, your man... Okay, so... Xerxes has uncoiled and he's got the small mouse in his jaw.
Yeah,
and he's starting to swallow.
See the way he's walking his jaws forward. People, it's hard to describe. They can't chew.
Yeah.
So there's no macerations. There's no chewing that you'd have in mammals.
Yeah.
So basically what he's doing is he's unhinged his jaws now.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of them can move independently. See the back ones that they're moving forward?
Yes.
Like you'd put one foot in front of the other.
Yes.
And as he does that, his fangs and his teeth are pointing backwards.
Uh-huh.
And they draw, each time he pulls on his jaws, it draws the mouse into his mouth more and more.
And he's contorting into these gorgeous shapes. Like he's almost sitting up on his coils.
Yeah, if we get very lucky, you'll see the tube coming out the side of the mouth as well.
So he's still the mouse is still dangling and very slowly it's being drawn back into his mouth.
Now you see around his mouth as well, all those pits.
Mm-hmm.
That's heat sensitive pits.
Oh.
And some of the pythons and boas and especially the venomous snakes like the vipers, they have these super sensitive pits that can spot heat, like bats if they're in a cave, or mice or rats that are passing by, and they're able to nail them in complete darkness.
Wow.
So it's another weapon to their arsenal. They basically see like predator.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of a heat gradient.
Mm-hmm. So he Xerxes was holding the what was left of the tail, but now the mouse is going in backwards and his jaws are almost up to the back of the mouse's head.
Yeah. You can see it's going in. Now, it's very strange that you'd see a mouse going in backwards. Captive bred reptiles haven't had to deal with
fur going in the other direction and claws.
And also, that's quite a small mouse.
Yeah.
So it's not difficult for him to swallow. But as a rule, you would never see a... Not never, but you'd rarely see a snake swallowing a prey item backwards.
So they don't chew, so it gets to the stomach, and then is it just digested, dissolved?
Okay, so yeah, here's the cool thing as well about snakes. So you might have a snake that hasn't eaten in a long time.
Yeah.
Ooh, bang, straight away.
Just had another one, what was that?
So that's a garter snake.
Okay.
I call them my raptors because they look like the raptors from
Jurassic
Park. Yeah. They really are. Very charismatic little creatures. But we'll take the hand off you.
Right.
I said that and you stood back. Here, put your face up to this animal that will take the hand off you. Yeah, so snakes.
Feeding another one there now. Yay!
Boom. See the way if they miss, they'll go for anything. That's why you need that long tongue.
Yeah.
Look at that. Oh, there's the tube. There's the muscular tube at the bottom. Watch. You'll see it coming out the side.
Oh, yeah, I see a tube coming out. So that's the...
What you see now, and you'll see the breath being taken. There you go. Isn't it amazing?
It's like sticking out the...
And as that gets further down now, you see it's swallowing it the right way. Don't you stick your head away. We're trying to put you on radio for everyone to see through the medium of podcast.
Yeah, it's that's amazing, incredible. So this mouse is going in head first.
Yeah, it's going in the right way. So, yes, sorry, I keep getting distracted by my snakes.
By your feeding.
The snake has...
Oh, look, Xerxes, snake, he's
oh, it's gone. Yeah, we'll give him another one in a bit. A snake, say, it hasn't eaten in a month. Its heart and its liver and its lungs are all shrunken down. It's reserving its energy. It's using 1/5 of the energy we would be doing. Basically, chilling out, smoking a cigar, watching the world go by. Not literally, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's just very relaxed. It decides it's going to eat, or a prey item comes across it and it nails it. When it swallows the prey and it goes down in the stomach, the heart increases inside, the liver starts to function again, and the digestive juices start dissolving the prey item.
Right.
All that's left from everything they eat is this white, it's like a giant board dropping. Imagine a board dropping, but a lot bigger. So you have the white and the brown. The brown is just hair and teeth. Everything else is digested.
Wow.
So they're incredibly efficient. They just dissolve everything in those stomachs of theirs. They get all their calcium and all their nutrients from everything down to the bones of the creature. The only thing they can't digest, as I said, is the enamel on the teeth and the hair.
Huh.
It's crazy, yeah. I have to admire their efficiency. He's looking for more food there now.
He's just looking up at us now and he's moving around.
Yep.
He's like, come on, Dad.
Look, give me more.
He is lovely. He's very, very, very nice.
He's a great snake. He does a lot of school talks and stuff like that. So, yeah, he's well used to getting...
He's an orator.
Exactly, yeah. But...
That just conjured up all sorts of nice images.
Yeah.
So he's used to the attention.
He's very used to the attention. So yeah, snakes. There you go. So snakes. What did you think of that?
Oh,
I hope I might have changed your view on them. And
well, I've always liked snakes, so you didn't.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
That was amazing.
Pretty
no,
cool
I like snakes.
What we'll do is, I am definitely going to get somebody down from the Venom Lab to talk to you about... another thing, if you're listening to this... Thank you very much, because it's been brilliant since we started in December. We can't believe the numbers of people that are actually listening and enjoying it. We've loads of good stuff coming up. And also, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook with any questions you have or any episodes you'd like us to do.
Yep.
If we don't know it, we know somebody who does know it.
We'll
get in contact with them and we'll get them on the show. And please, if you know anyone who likes animals or is into this kind of stuff, or even if they don't and you want to convert them, turn them onto our podcast, share the shit out of it, and
even if they only like swearing.
Exactly, or us talking about various animals' genitalia and giggling about it. So, yeah.
All right.
I think next time we're going to be talking hopefully about either bees with my cousin or bats with a bat expert from Dublin.
Lovely.
Possibly neither, because you know us. We might just decide to do something on leeches.
Leeches?
We are going to do leeches. We have to do leeches. Oh my god, I went to buy a pet leech the other day.
No.
Online. You know how much they were looking for?
How much?
€200.
Fuck off.
Yeah. And do you know what? You have to feed it yourself. Fuck that. It's like literally €200 to get sucked on by a leech. That sounds so bad.
It sounds like a typical Saturday night.
Saturday night, yeah,
come
exactly.
On.
Right, let's get the fuck out of here.
Right, there's all sorts of stuff on my way. I feel like you go work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.